welcome to episode 7 of All Talk No Bock. We're excited to have Matt Antonelli on as our special guest. I'm Heather.
And I'm Charles, and I'd like to introduce our new bullpen correspondent, Reese Savoy in the bottom left, now a member of the All Talk No Bock, No Bock podcast. Welcome in, Reese.
Yes, we're
excited.
Yes, so we're just going to get right into it. Baseball is exciting this week. I won't gloat because I've already been told that I'm annoying. But a certain team crushed another certain team yesterday, and I won't get too much into it. But we're not here for that. We're here to interview our special guest, Matt Antonelli. Charles, you want to tell us about Matt a little bit?
Antonelli was the Massachusetts Player of the Year in football. He had a little bit of a diverse career. He was our very own Bo Jackson, football and baseball over here. Runner-up for his baseball in his senior year at St. John's Prep. He attended Wake Forest University, where he displayed a very good plate discipline, walking 57 times as a sophomore, ranking 7th among collegiate hitters. Very impressive, Matt. He only struck out 38 times in 232 at-bats, and he played collegiate summer baseball for the Commodores in Falmouth, and he played for Cape Cod Baseball League there. So we're happy to have Matt on. He played a one-month stint for the Padres as well in his professional career in September of 2008, and now he's doing coaching and a lot of YouTube videos, doing drills and stuff like that. So we're very happy to have Matt on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for coming in, Matt. So we got some questions for you, of course. We got to educate the people all about Mr. Antonelli, and our first question, very timely, very, I would say, on par with the situation we have going on right now, is how have you been handling your business and your overall life with COVID going on?
Yeah, it's been really strange. So we're basically like, we go year round with our baseball facility and with our organization. So we have 11 teams of youth baseball players from like 10 to 18 years old. And probably right around like March 15th, we went from gearing up for our season on April 1st to just completely shut down, pretty much like Major League Baseball was. And so 3 months of being away from the field, and then we got lucky enough to get back on the field probably around the middle of June, middle to end of June. And we've been trying to cram in an entire baseball season in about a month and a half. So, you know, I've got like 40 games a week, I think, right now. But it's good to be. Kids are excited to play, and I'm happy to get out of the house a little bit.
Definitely a big adjustment, Matt. I don't know how the MLB has done it. I don't know how you are doing it. It's a lot of work. It's almost like you're in a minor league system right now, having no breaks. As we talked to our guest Craig last week, you guys are on a grind right now, and I honestly really appreciate, and it's an inspiration to your motivation, honestly. And you know, you've been motivated your entire career. You were a first-round draft pick. How did that feel to be a first-round draft pick, second baseman, and how was your one-month stint with the Padres, if you can go into that?
Sure. So, I would say from the time I was pretty young, you know, probably 10, 11 years old, I had probably two goals in life. I wanted to either play in Major League Baseball or I wanted to play in the NHL. And so that was everything. Everything that I did as a kid was kind of geared to that. I guess I got lucky. I knew what I wanted to do when I was young. And, you know, I got fortunate enough to be a decent baseball player. I really loved the game, like working hard. And so, in 2006, after going to Wake Forest, I had the opportunity to get drafted by the Padres. And, you know, just something to have something that you work towards your whole life and then finally get to that day and it happens. A little bit of a relief, but also excitement that I had a chance to fulfill my dreams. And, you know, really too, when you get drafted, there's still such a long way until you get to the major leagues. Baseball's weird where, you know, most did never get a chance to actually play in the major leagues. And so I got lucky enough to, you know, I only played for probably a month. I think I had like a year of major league time, but I was injured a lot and I was kind of up and down, bouncing between the minors and major leagues. But I was, you know, I was very lucky to at least have a month of time in the major league, something I won't forget for sure.
Very few people can make it, man. And it's an inspiration that you reached your dreams. And NHL too, hockey. I mean, do you play basketball as well? I mean, are you all the way around, or can you not hoop at all? Is that like your one fault?
I played every sport. I played soccer, basketball, baseball, football. I mean, I played every sport you could play. I love basketball. I just wasn't very good at it. I played basketball in high school I couldn't play high school basketball because I played high school hockey, but I would play in like all these leagues. I'm probably the only player to ever play basketball for like 15 years and never score a point outside the paint. I could only lay the ball in. I could not shoot to save my life. And that's why I decided to not try to pursue an NBA career.
Awesome, Matt. Well, you know, your career, it did change in ways that I'm sure you never anticipated. What advice would you have for anyone kind of going through a similar situation, someone navigating through adulthood in terms of maybe, you know, any obstacles that might arise or any major changes that they don't see coming?
Yeah, sure. So the one weird thing about being a professional athlete is that you don't, you know your career is going to be short, but you don't really ever know when it's going to end. And so I was probably 29, I think I was around 29 or so when my career ended. And so I went from like I said, 10 or 12 to 29, thinking like, I just want to play baseball. And then it ended. And so I had to figure out, what do I do with the rest of my life? Because I didn't really have a backup plan. I didn't really know anything other than baseball. Now, I knew that I kind of wanted to stay in baseball or do something. I didn't know if I wanted to coach or, you know, try to get into like a front office or go professional or college or high school. There was a lot of things that I wasn't sure about. But I feel like one thing that I was doing when I was playing is that I knew that I'd do something in baseball. So I was always kind of training for that. Like even when I was playing, I knew I was around like great, you know, I had great managers and great coaches, and I played with some great players. And so I was always kind of preparing for, okay, if I do get released or cut, or, you know, I break my leg and my career ends, I do have to start to prepare for life after baseball. And so, you know, I can remember, you know, playing with the Padres, Buddy Black was our manager, he's a great manager. And, you know, when I was with the Orioles for a little bit, I had Buck Showalter. And so I would like come in after practice and after games, and I'd jot down notes of like things they said. And, you know, maybe I'm hitting in the cage with Adrian Gonzalez, who was one of our best hitters with the Padres. And, you know, I'd write down the drills he was doing. And I wasn't doing that so much to help me as a player, but more to help me when I was done playing in case I went into something else. And so I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know how many people can do that. Cause I did stay in the same field. I just transitioned from player to more coach and stuff. So, but I think the biggest thing is just to kind of be prepared and not so much have a plan B, but like do be ready for if something does change that you're not suspecting will, then you're ready to kind of bounce and do something different. But it's definitely tough. And it took me a little time to adjust to it. It was weird when all of a sudden I'm not, you know, I was always, everyone said, oh, you know, when I would meet people, stuff, oh, you're the baseball player. And then all of a sudden one day it was just no more. Like, I don't know what I am anymore. Yeah, be flexible and prepare as well as you can, I guess, would be the biggest things of advice I'd give.
Absolutely. And as someone who's about to graduate college and also has no idea what I'm going to do with my life, I definitely appreciate that advice. And, you know, now you are a coach. Kind of looking at the major leagues right now, you know, the game is currently lacking any superstar second baseman. Are you aware of any up and coming guys who could kind of change the game in that way?
Yeah, second base is a little bit weird because there are so many superstars, so many young, great players. I think baseball at this time has, I mean, sometimes people talk about, oh, baseball doesn't have the superstars that other sports do. I think that the talent in Major League Baseball is unbelievable right now. It just doesn't happen to be as much at second base. Like the shortstop position is like the deepest, maybe the deepest position in baseball. Same with third base. Like there's so many great infielders. But there's still like really solid second baseman in the major leagues. And there's young guys like, let's see, Nick Madrigal from the White Sox, who I think could be like a really good player, maybe not like a superstar, but you know, he just up and he never strikes out, he puts the ball in play, he's really good. You've got Brendan Rodgers from the Rockies, who's maybe more of a shortstop but could play second. So like those are like guys that I think could be like really long-term players at the big league level. I don't know if they'll be superstars. But there's a couple guys in the big league. Jose Altuve, I know everyone kind of doesn't like him anymore because of everything that happened with the Astros, but like he's been an unbelievable second baseman. And then Ozzie Albies is one of my favorite young second basemen. I think he's going to be awesome. Who else? Kevin Biggio is like a young player that I love with the Blue Jays.
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like Kevin Biggio a lot. And Brandon Lau from the Rays. They don't get a ton of attention, but he's a nice young player. So
love the Rays.
There's lots of guys. Yeah, there's, again, maybe not the superstars, but I think that there are a lot of really solid players and, you know, a lot of players for people to just gravitate towards. And I love, me personally, I don't really follow teams as much as I do players. So I do like to follow those guys, and I think they'll all have really good careers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's good player. I mean, I would name Corey Seager as somebody that would eventually become a second baseman likely, due to his like injury history, as another guy that could be a star at that position.
Sure.
So we want to talk about your career as a YouTuber, cause you're such a successful, YouTuber, and you have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. So how did you kind of carry that passion from player to coach or mentor or advisor to YouTube star? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so YouTube kind of started as a way, when I was still playing, my dad was a coach. He was coaching youth baseball, and I'd go to his practices and like try to, you know, just kind of teach the player stuff I was learning at the professional level. And YouTube was, and I was like, this is interesting. Maybe I'll just throw up some instructional videos, help out our players. That's how it kind of started. And then it was probably a couple of years ago. I mean, for the first 8-9 years, I think I had like 10,000 subscribers, which was good, but I was like, you know, I don't think it's ever going to be huge. And then someone asked me, you know, what kind of equipment do you get? You know, I started getting a lot of questions. What kind of equipment do you get at the major leagues? You know, what's travel like? And so I just kind of like we're doing now, I just videotape myself doing that. And then I remember the next day I woke up and I had more views on that one video than I had for like the 8 previous years. And I was like, wow. I guess, I don't know if you call that viral, but it just became much bigger than everything else. And then I realized, okay, this is something people are interested in. And that's when the channel went from, you know, 10,000 subscribers to now, you know, almost, I don't know what we're at now, 155 or something like that, 1,000 subscribers. So it was not by, it wasn't like I had this great idea or, you know, I did anything special. I just answered what people wanted and luckily people enjoyed it. There wasn't really a whole lot of people out doing it at that time. Now, you know, YouTube and all social media, you know, guys are, there's a lot more major league players on there now, but when I was doing it, nobody was really on social media. It wasn't popular. So that helped too, being one of the earlier guys, but that was really it. I just love baseball. I love talking about it. I love trying to teach the game. Love giving, you know, inside stuff that maybe not everyone knows what goes on in the clubhouse and, you know, on the plane and those type of things. And so people seem.
That's awesome. Yeah. We are all versed in your videos and they're really interesting. And for anybody that doesn't subscribe to Matt, go on YouTube and subscribe to his channel because he has such insight into every little facet, not just for second baseman, but really for any position on the field if you're an aspiring player. So go check that out. So lastly, this was a short and sweet interview. We know that you don't follow teams as much as players, but we want to know if there's a team that you kind of root for more than the others, the Padres, and then we want to hear your early World Series pick.
Sure. So so I don't follow the teams as much. It's really strange, and a lot of times I talk to people about this and they don't believe me. Like I was a diehard Red Sox fan my whole life. I got drafted by the Padres, but I still would try to follow the Red Sox that first year. But then slowly, you know, you start playing so much, and then I'm competing against the other teams, and then you get released and all this stuff happens, and then you hear people say like, oh, baseball is, you know, you've learned it's a business, and it does feel a little different. I just kind of stopped following the Red Sox, and I'm trying to get back into it now a little bit more because, you know, my son likes to watch the games and stuff. Okay, so let me think again. Let's see. What was the question before the World Series question? I know there was another question before that, and I can't remember where.
Root for more than.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You don't need to.
I will still follow the Padres a little bit, although I don't know. I mean, I don't know anyone on that team anymore. I still know, like, Glenn Hoffman's still coaching third, and he was coaching third when I was there, so I know him. But other than that, like, the whole organization has changed. So it's more players, little Red Sox, maybe a little bit of Padres, but that's really it. I just watch the games. You know, I watch the games now as, like, a coach. It's probably annoying for people to watch it with me, but, you know, I'm not, like, cheering as much for players as I am, like, yelling at players for doing things wrong or doing it. Yeah.
So no World Series pick for us? No
hockey? Oh, yeah. Pick. Sorry. World Series pick. Well, this is going to be the boringest pick of all time because I did this back in, I don't know, March or February. Basically, once Mookie Betts got traded to the Dodgers and my son's favorite player is Mookie Betts, I said that I said the Dodgers have to win. I said they have so much depth and you add the one of the best players to already one of the best lineups. Like, I don't know how you get through that lineup. And then I was going to pick the Yankees before them. Again, that's easy pick. But the Yankees with Gerrit Cole and then with their power. But I'm still going to stick with the Dodgers just because, I mean, how many times can you go to a World Series and not win? They've got to eventually win. So those are, I know, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were a Dodgers fan, but I figured you were when you started talking about them.
Yeah, I'm a Dodger fan, die hard. We all live in Southern California, but Charles and I live in LA. But Charles has chosen the road less taken and is an Angels fan. And then Reese Reese over here is a little Padres fan. So yesterday was a good day for one of us.
The Padres are very exciting. I like watching them. I think they're going to be really well. They are good. I think they're going to be really good.
Did maybe. You hear that? He said the Padres are good. Are you listening?
Is that right? They weren't yesterday. We're just playing that. Yes, they're good. They're young.
I hear you. And I will say this, like, watching the other games and stuff, and I've been trying to follow even though I'm super busy, but, like, I still think I don't think it's a lock that, you know, it's going to be a crazy season. So I still think, like, teams like the Rays and the A's, where no one really talks about them, I think they're both really good. Like, World Series, I wouldn't.
The A's, yeah.
I know the Cubs are off to a really, really hot start. And then the Twins can really hit, and they've got better pitching and stuff. So, like, I don't know, there's going to be a lot of good, you know, a lot of solid teams in it. But I'll stick with the Dodgers just because, I don't know, they're good.
Well, Matt, we like you even more now than we did 20 minutes ago. So
I'll take a rest on this season for the Red Sox, Matt. I think that. The other teams that they have right now, even the Orioles are heating up. So I don't think it's their year, unfortunately. I give them another year. But you got one series in the last couple of years, so you can't be too upset.
Yeah, just won one yesterday or something. So we're good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Dodgers' turn, as I say every week on this podcast. It's been like 3+ decades.
I love that A's pick, though, Matt. I think that they got solid pitching. The A's have really solid pitching this year with Montas. I don't know where their pitching came from, but they're really dealing right now. And I didn't see that coming, to be honest. I didn't see the A's as a top team. But, you know, Vegas knew they had them at number 8 chance to win the World Series. And I guess Vegas always knows. And they had the Twins at number 6. So you're hitting some top teams, Matt. I appreciate that, man. But I appreciate this interview, and now it's time for your favorite segment and ours. This is Your Take, Our Take. We got a very special question for you guys today, hitting the media route, as Matt is going to be involved in this. We're going to go with, what is your favorite social media player that you follow or that you're interested in right now? And is there anything that you would do to your own team's social media? So for me, that would be the Angels. I'm going to talk a little bit about what they should do, what they should be doing. They're lacking a little bit. And, you know, what you guys would do to change your team. So we'll start off with Matt first, and then we'll circle around to Reese, Heather, and then myself. So Matt, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Sure. So player that I follow, I mean, I know some people like this guy a lot. Some people might not. I follow Trevor Bauer's stuff a lot online because I think that he's just really authentic. He doesn't care what you think. He just tells you, you know, how it is. And I think he gives really good insight into, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And for teams, I don't really follow, like I said, I don't follow the Red Sox stuff and all that, but I would like teams to give more behind the scenes stuff with players, Sometimes players feel uncomfortable, like, saying the wrong thing, and Bauer's the opposite. I really like that, and I think that if more teams showed players, let us know the players a little bit closer, and maybe, I don't know, I just think there's so much cool stuff you could do with what they're doing in the batting cage, and what, you know, how pitchers are getting ready to play, and maybe what they're thinking about, there's just so much stuff that they could probably continue to do, and they are doing a better job than a few years ago, so that's my take.
Or even just a fun night bowling. I totally agree, Matt. We don't know these players on a personal level, especially on their team page. And I would love to see Cody and Pollock and Mookie out at like a Lucky Strike or something like that. You know, that would be hilarious. So I think that we should get a little bit more of that.
Yeah, that's a good example. Okay, Reese, what about you?
So for the player, Noah Syndergaard, I love his Twitter. It's so funny. You know, he had that whole stint with the Mets mascot going on, which was hilarious. So I think his content's really good, definitely entertaining. So I'm a big fan of his. And then for the team social media presence, I think the Padres do a really good job, especially on Twitter. But something that I would improve on their end is kind of interacting with the fans more. You know, they respond to comments. They do a good job of that. But, like, in terms of putting out content with the intention of, like, having fans respond, like, maybe doing, like, Twitter polls or, like, little trivia things, like, once or twice a week. I think that would be cool. Just a good way to engage the fans a little more. So that would be my piece of advice for them.
That's a good one, Reese. I was going to say Trevor Bauer, actually, Matt. But so because you said my favorite guy on social media, because he just says what he wants to, and he says what everybody's thinking, that may not be necessarily maybe the most professional at times, but really he always sticks to truth, and I really appreciate and respect that. I was going to say, I'm going to go a little bit off color here, and I'm going to say the Philly Fanatic has the best social media presence right now. I am loving everything about him kind of dealing with no fans and the cardboard cutouts, and he's just really funny, and he always brings a smile into my face, even if I'm having a bad day. And he just kind of knows how to mess with people. Of course, the famous Philly Fanatic Tommy Lasorda fight from many, many years ago is one of my favorite videos that I've ever seen online. So, you know, I love the Philly Fanatic. I think the bullpen is going to write a piece on the mascots and how they're dealing with COVID, but I think he's really funny, and I love anytime there's a video by Fox Sports or MLB on Twitter or Instagram. And then as far as the Dodgers social media, I think they do a great job. They always come up with clever captions, which I appreciate. And they're very timely with videos as far as if a home run is hit, or five in the case of yesterday, sorry, Reese. Five, six, who knows? Enough. And, you know, I appreciate that. I don't, you know, what I would say in terms of their online presence, I wish they posted more. I'm a nerd, and I wish they posted more like of the player press conferences that they do at the end of games. I wish that we could see the full interview instead of just a clip. I'm not sure why they only post maybe 2 or 3 minutes of like a 7 minute long interview, because I really like to hear what Dave Roberts and the players have to say at the end of games, and also at the beginning of games. The pregame interviews. So especially if it's like an interesting game. So that I would say, and then also posting more, if it's like an offensive highlight, they tend to go for the home run, but I like to see all the offensive highlights. So those are my two notes, but otherwise the Dodgers do a great job, and they're on Instagram too. Their presence is strong. So and Sue Joe is, I think that's the name of the person that runs the social media, and I know she's very talented. So that's what I have to say. What about you, Charles? Last but not least.
Taking my talents to the AL North over in Cleveland. Mike Clevinger is a beast on social media. His Twitter is awesome, and he always engages with his fans. He's very, always responding. He's awesome. I love him. He's also a big critic of the Astros. He was voicing his opinion after that. So I know, Heather, you love him now as well. He's always hating on the Astros recently, and I honestly love the Houston Asterix page on Twitter now. Yes. That is just like following the total 7-10, 8-10 travesty of a season that they're having now. I love it. It is awesome. And speaking on your point earlier, Matt, Altuve, he had 4 errors in that one game, and that was in fact happy for me to see. So I'm glad to see them choking a little bit, and Clevenger's hitting it hard. He's also starting a podcast with his teammate, Zach Plesic, I believe his last name is, and he is killing it over on the media game. I love what Clevenger's doing. He posts a lot. He loves The Office. He posts a lot about The Office as well, and I just think he's an overall funny guy. And over to my Angels, they need a lot of help on their Twitter account. The last post they made was back in, like, early July. It's been over a month. They just posted their schedule, and that was it. They decided to bail on it, and it was just some pinned tweet. It was just – it's sad right now for the Halos. They need to have some fan engagement. They need to put some Mike Trout hits. He's hit, you know, 7 home runs in his last 20 at-bats, something crazy like that. So I think that we should be putting those home runs up on the Twitter account and doing a lot more with our fans. I think it's really critical at this moment. There's a lot that you could do, as Matt was saying, in terms of running a social media account right now. Everyone's at home, so take advantage of it. Get these fans involved. Put more polls out. Do something to get the fans engaged, because we're bored, honestly, sometimes for the Halos. So we need some love. Our games have been a little rough, but we came up clutch against the A's. We won 2 out of 3. I was happy. So that's what I think the Angels should do. It's going to turn around for us. I feel that this series was a pivotal point. We got the freeway series. I'm a little nervous because you guys always do well against us in Anaheim, and we do well in LA, but we'll see how it goes this year. I'm really interested. And for all you kids going back to school this week, I'm wearing my SC alum. So love the school season. I know bringing it down a notch a little bit, but had to rep my Trojans over here. I know Heather's a Bruin, but you know,
yes, we're okay. You know.
And I think that's about it for your take, our take. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Matt.
You coming on, and you were great. Thank you so much.
Love no having problem. You.
Thanks again. Nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay healthy. Right.
You too.
Bye.
That's it for us here at All Talk No Buck. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And thank you to our new bullpen correspondent, Reese Savoy. Great as always these past couple of weeks. And we'd like to thank our guest, Matt Antonelli. Thank you for coming on.
Matt.
You're really welcome back. As Heather said, you are a big fish so far. And we loved having you on the podcast. Great information. And make sure to go follow Matt. Subscribe to his YouTube. He's got great coaching styles. He's a great guy. And he's a great fan now of the bullpen. So we were happy to have him on.
Friend of the pod.
Heather, what are we getting into next week? We got some good stuff planned. I'm excited.
Yes. Well, we are approaching the halfway point, Charles and Reese. And so that means our question is, who has gotten off to a surprise good start? This is a positive twist. I guess we could do the negative, but we'll stick with the positive. Who is surprisingly good? Who is surprisingly dominant? Who's going on a streak? Who's hot to start off? And part two to that, who do we think can maintain that? So will the hot starts stick, or will they fade off into the oblivion that is the baseball wild card rounds? So, or whatever they're doing this year. So that's our question, and we look forward to seeing everybody next week. As always, you could follow us. The descriptions, if you're listening on Spotify, will be in the description section, and then on YouTube, it will be at the end of this video, and you can follow us, like us, you can email us, and we are on Anchor, so stay tuned for that. You can send us voicemails via Anchor, so that's a cool thing. We'll give more information next week. But the email is the same. Everything is the same. Go on our website. Go read our articles. Everybody at the bullpen's working really hard right now as the shortened season gives us so much to talk about. So it's all interesting. And we thank everybody for coming on. And we thank you, Reese. We look forward to having you as a regular bullpen correspondent. And thank you, Charles, for being just a solid co-host and a stalwart. And thank you, me, for being such a good addition as well. All right, guys.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your weekend. Go Angels.
Go Dodgers and Padres.
Oh, Padres.